At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I want to highlight some things that people with spiritual gifts experience. And I'm talking to the person who may experience strange things or intense spiritual warfare that seems inexplainable. But before we begin, let's look at the biblical definition of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10 says, "To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said." Oftentimes, a lot of us don't know why the devil is fighting us. We'll scratch our head and think, is it just me? Was it something I did? But let me tell you something. The reason why the devil fights us a lot of the time is because he wants to keep you from discovering what's inside you. The devil is afraid of who you'll become should you fully commit to the Lord. The devil is afraid of you discovering the gifts that God gave you. Oftentimes, we don't know why the devil is fighting us. But may I submit to you that you have a gift inside you, a gift that will anger the kingdom of darkness. Your gift is what the enemy is trying to stifle. It's what he's trying to choke out of you. So he'll throw naysayers your way. He'll throw discouragers your way. The enemy sends people your way. He sends the Pharisees and Sadducees, those people who are self-righteous and consider themselves to be highly educated and better than you. He sends them to try and talk you out of your calling. You can't sing worship, you can't teach the Bible, you can't preach. But you see, the devil can throw these rocks, but none will injure you. The devil will throw fiery darts at you, but none will pierce you. That's why the Bible says, your gift will make room for you. Your gift will make room for you because no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I would like to add to the fact that in order for us to realize our gifts, for us to fully experience the gifts that God has placed within us, there has to be a desperation about us. We desperately need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We desperately need to get the Word of God in our hearts. We desperately need to get on our knees in prayer. That's how you'll learn your gifts and know what it is that God has placed inside you. If you want to live out your calling, if you want to walk effectively in your assignment, you have to know. You need to know what it is He has placed in you. And if you're wondering what these so-called gifts are, the Bible says that we have different spiritual gifts, and they come from the Holy Spirit. But the devil does not care that you have gifts, as long as he can keep you from activating them. If he can keep you in the dark, if he can discourage you, then his job is done. This is why wisdom and knowledge is so important for the believer. The devil is after you because of the gift inside of you. And some of you will keep finding yourself under attack, one after the other, one battle followed by another, constant opposition. But hear me, it's like this. You're being attacked like this because you are making strides in your spiritual life. As you're growing in faith, he knows that sooner or later, you're going to break through and realize or recognize your gifts. That's why the attacks are launched. But during that time, during a season of attack, as a child of God, you should be persistent. A thief doesn't break into an empty house. They don't. There's nothing of value in a house that's empty. There's nothing to steal. But when you find the devil trying to break into your life, it's because he knows. He knows what's inside you. He knows the heights you can reach. He knows the value, the gift inside of you. And that's what he wants. The enemy hates the Christian man or woman who is walking in their calling, operating in their gift with power, with humility, and with integrity, all for the glory of God. That's what the enemy hates to see.
So, at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You need to be aware that when the devil wants to disrupt your life, he will throw hell and the kitchen sink in your direction. And I'm talking about when you find yourself in a place where there is challenge after challenge. Bad news followed by more bad news. One tragedy after the other. Do you remember what happened to Job? Before one servant could finish delivering bad news, another person came in with more bad news. Now let me tell you why the devil will fight you so fiercely when he sees that God is about to do something in your life. He fights you so fiercely because he wants to drive you into a pit of despair. He wants to get you to a place where you are so down, so discouraged, so consumed with your troubles that you take your eyes off the Lord. And once you take your eyes off the Lord, you're right where the devil wants you to be. Imagine if Job had been so down and discouraged that he cursed God like his wife encouraged him to. This would have proved the devil's point, that Job only loved God because of what he had. And so you see, some attacks from the enemy are just meant to be endured. Sometimes you simply have to say, "Lord, stand with me during this storm and give me strength." When the devil throws all he can at you, sometimes the only thing you can do is stand in faith. Stand in prayer. Stand in expectation that God will deliver you in his perfect timing. Now, another sign that you need to be aware of is that when the devil wants to disrupt your life, he'll usually send a type of Judas into your life. And by a Judas, I mean someone who is in your inner circle, but they will be used of the devil. The devil will use people to frustrate you, to discourage you, to vex you and try you. Now, as Christians, we should be aware of this. People aren't necessarily evil. The Bible says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." In this spiritual realm, a child of God is never in a fight with another person. We are fighting the spirit behind the person. Remember that before Judas betrayed Jesus, the Bible tells us in Luke 22, verse 3, "Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. The devil entered Judas. This is not to say everyone who opposes you has the devil in them. No. But when you find that someone is relentlessly malicious and evil towards you, this person could be under the influence of the devil with the sole purpose of drawing you away from God's plan. They'll try and entice you away from waiting on God by getting you to focus on all of the commotion they're causing in your life. What would happen if you were more consistent in your prayer life? What would happen if you were more consistent in reading God's word? What would happen if you were more consistent in doing things for the Lord? Whether it's witnessing to unbelievers or simply giving to the less fortunate. What would happen if all these things weren't one-offs? How would your spiritual life be transformed if you became more consistent with the Lord? Would your faith grow? It certainly would. Would your level of anointing increase? Most definitely. Would your gift be effective in bringing people to Christ? Yes, yes it would. So how do we become more consistent with God? What are some of the practical keys in building consistency in your walk with God? One of the ways you can build consistency in your walk with God is by setting a schedule, creating a routine. You know what activities you will do each and every day. You know that you'll travel to work, you know that you'll go to the gym, you know that you'll cook, watch TV. So why not make time in your schedule whereby you know that this time is dedicated to the Lord? I encourage you to set aside time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is. Set aside time where you know you'll be praying and reading God's word. Time where you know you will be still and know that He is God. Set time aside where you'll open your heart and allow God to speak with you, or rather, where you listen and hear God's word.
I have decided to follow Jesus Christ and turn away from the world. That's a choice. I've decided that I will live my life according to God's word. That's a choice. I have decided that prayer is a daily activity in my life. That's a choice. Do you see where I'm going with this? We're all constantly making choices. We're constantly making decisions, and when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as a neutral stance. You cannot have one foot in and one foot out when it comes to the things of God. You can't ever be on the fence when it comes to serving Jesus Christ or not. The Lord doesn't tolerate a lukewarm person. You're either hot for the Lord and burning for Him, or you are cold and you reject Him. There is no middle ground. The Bible tells us in James 4, verse 8, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." If we claim to be followers of Christ, we cannot be split down the middle. We need to be all in for Him. Then He will draw near to us and supply us with all that we need to live that radical yet rewarding life. Consider Jesus' words in Matthew 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, here's an exercise for you. Replace the word money with anything. You cannot serve God and your career. You cannot serve God and validation from others. You cannot serve God and your addiction. If we are not completely devoted to God, then we are not truly His followers. In some ways, being a half-hearted Christian is even worse than not being one at all. Listen to how strong these words are in Revelation 3, verse 15 to 16. The Bible says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." If you truly understand the offer that Jesus is laying before you, you have a choice to make. Give your entire life to Him and allow Him to transform and bless you. Or you can insist on doing things your way, and God can become an afterthought. We have a choice, saints. Surrender or rebel? Bow down to Christ or bow down to the devil? Serve Jesus or serve this world? There is no third option. You are in one camp or the other. You can never be in both camps at the same time. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." This might seem harsh, but what John means here is that our love for the Lord must be so great that we are willing to give up everything for Him, even the things we love most. We must count them as loss compared to the treasure we have in Christ. Would you give up anything for Jesus Christ? I believe that we can all be found guilty of loving the world more than we love God. So often, our focus tends to be on earthly things rather than the things of God. The truth is that we can't pursue God half the time and worldly pleasure the other half. We can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world. God deserves our complete and undivided devotion. So what should we do in light of these things? Pursue the things of God. Pursue His presence in your life. Pursue revival in your heart. Don't be double-minded. Fix your eyes completely on Jesus, and He will help you turn away from every other distraction.
In my walk with God, there have been periods of my life where God has allowed me to face certain challenges that I could do nothing about except to pray about it and wait on God. In hindsight, I could see that certain problems God permitted in my life actually brought me closer to Him because they pushed me to seek Him. They pushed me to get on my knees. And dear friend, I'd like to tell you that at one point or another, you will encounter a situation where you are powerless. Putting your hands on a situation won't work. Calling on the resources of friends or acquaintances won't work. And it's when you're in a time like this where you should simply pray. It sounds so simple, but yet we find this to be so difficult to do. We should have an attitude whereby if you come across a situation that's threatening and you've done all that you possibly can, you pray. And you don't just stop there, but to put it in biblical terms, you pray without ceasing. You continue steadfastly in prayer. I encourage you to pray. Pray through the situation you're in. Don't get tired. Don't be weary, but continue steadfastly in prayer.
The Bible in Matthew 5, verse 45, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." This verse is telling us that the Lord is kind to all by bringing the sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh, whether a person does what is good or evil. Now, I would like to start by telling you to cherish those good times, those moments of sunshine. Cherish them. But remember to stay faithful to the Lord. And equally, when that season of rain comes in your life, it may be unpleasant. It may be difficult. But remember God. Remember to stay faithful. And I'm sure we can all relate to the statement that life can be bittersweet. It has those moments where the Lord gives you that breakthrough. Those moments where you are blessed with the right thing at just the right time. But at times, life will also hand you some bitter moments. Some tough things that will bring you to your knees in tears and in pain. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather have Jesus through the good and the bad. I would rather have Jesus Christ through the sunshine and the rain. I would rather have Jesus all the time than to only go seeking for Him when I need a miracle or when I need to be rescued. As believers, I encourage you not to treat God as though He is a fire escape. He's not there for your convenience. He's not there to be accessed in emergencies only. No, we need to strive to always, always be in fellowship with the Lord, regardless of whether we are in a season of peace or warfare. As a child of God, you should always be found to be a person of prayer. You should always be walking by faith and not by sight. You should be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And you should most definitely be found wearing the full armor of God always. I say this because Ephesians 6, verse 13, it says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Take note how the Bible says, in the evil day, not if, but in the evil day. The devil will almost certainly attack you with an evil day at some point in your life. Dr. Tony Evans described this particular day by saying, the evil day is when all hell breaks loose on you. This is a day when your faith is tested. A day when what's in you will be exposed. The evil day is when you're under spiritual attack. It's not a bad day at work. It's not someone upsetting you. But it's a real, targeted spiritual attack. And this day will bring out what's within you. Is it faith or is it fear? Is it God's word or is it your own wisdom? You will find out. And this day will bring out what's within you. Is it faith or fear? Is it God's word or your own wisdom? You will find out on that day. Saints of God, abide in the presence of the Lord always. Don't dabble and gamble with your life or your eternal destiny. The devil is out there, so we need to remain in Christ. We need to always be in Christ.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.